If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment cause chaos. Use ShipStation instead. From running a business out of your garage to multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating tasks. Plus, you'll get the best shipping rates from global carriers. Calm the chaos with the shipping software that delivers. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
Welcome to Stone Cold Shows, episode 25 of season 2. I'm Brandon Strange. I'm joined by Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. Charlie writes weekly for SportsMap.com. Follow him on X at Palillo. Read Josh's work daily on SportsMap.com. Follow him on X at JoshJordan975. One quick show note. We will be live tomorrow at 5 p.m. on YouTube for a trade deadline reaction. Win, lose, or draw. We're going to be right here at 5 p.m. to talk about all the moves, and hopefully there will be some. Just a reminder, every episode of Stone Cold Shows is available in audio form at your favorite podcast provider like Apple or Spotify. Just search Stone Cold Shows, and be sure to give us a like on this video while you're here. It helps us greatly. And if you haven't subscribed yet, do it. We invite you to do so right now. We appreciate that. Gents, we got to see one of the most anticipated matchups this weekend, and I'm not talking Deadpool and Wolverine. I'm talking Astros-Dodgers, which, much like Deadpool, lived up to the billing. Houston takes the series with dramatic fashion on Saturday with that Breggy walk-off. A little disappointing that Yordan seemingly was MIA all weekend, just 1-for-11. But no worries, because Houston's cleanup hitter cleaned up. Yair Diaz, 6-for-12 with a homer, a triple, and 3 RBI. Great job, young man, and I'm still not compelled to thank Dusty Baker. Houston maintains their percentage point lead over Seattle, while Texas loses ground after being swept in Toronto. Yikes. So let's start with this, guys. Was this a statement series win for Houston?
No. Look, taking 2 out of 3 is good. It's not great. It capped a week that for the Astros was mediocre after having lost 2 out of 3 at Oakland. So they balanced the books from that. But let's be real. It's just a 3-game series, and the fan furor between Astros and Dodgers is much bigger than any sort of animosity between the teams, especially when you look at the composition of the rosters since they last played in games that really, really mattered. And the Astros without Kyle Tucker, well, the Dodgers without Mookie Betts, they lose Freddie Freeman, all the best to his child, and then they sit Will Smith in the Sunday game, day game after a night game, their catcher. So Ohtani was the only one of their 4 stars to answer the bell all 3 games in the series. But the best takeaways for the Astros, Framber Valdez has it rolling now, and he is critical as the most reliable starter to hold up, I think, going the distance the rest of the way. Hunter Brown continues to be magnificent, but he has to take it to the finish line. Framber has done that before over 6-month regular seasons. Then you have the concern over Ronel Blanco, who, you know, the slippage, it's not off a cliff, but it's there. The command has tailed off some. And then Arrigetti, by Arrigettian standards, it was a good start. It meets that loose definition of quality start, but he lowers his ERA to the mid-5.5s. He remains a problem. Jake Bloss remains a problem. As in the traditional use of the term TikTok, right? 5 o'clock Tuesday is approaching, and the Astros have yet to do anything, while the Mariners have gotten better, the Orioles have gotten better, the Yankees have gotten better. So the Astros, by 5 o'clock, if they don't upgrade their ball club, it's not like it's over by any stretch of the imagination. Playing a pat hand, they could wind up winning this division. But the idea that, oh, they're obviously going to win this division, they're obviously going to make the playoffs, no, no, no. So Dana Brown's saying the right stuff, but in the end, in a results-driven business, he needs to make a deal. And as for the Dodgers series, my other Saturday, one of their best couple wins of the whole season. And I thought a fun juxtaposition the way it worked out. After Altuve had one of the worst at-bats any of us have ever seen by anybody under any circumstances, Brandon, we swapped a couple texts. If you didn't know better, you might have thought Altuve was drunk for that at-bat, chasing 3 sliders. I think the closest one was 6 feet off the plate. And then after that, are you kidding me, AB? Bregman, with his swing of the season, biggest hit he's ever had against the Dodgers. Well, second biggest hit he's ever had against the Dodgers. Missed out on the opportunity for the sweep, but 2 out of 3. If you keep winning series, you keep winning series. But there's work to be done certainly this week and in the remaining 6 weeks of the regular season thereafter.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't the most impactful, but it sure was fun for the fans, especially that comeback win on Saturday with the Breggy bomb. All year, Astros fans have been kind of waiting. When are we going to see that Bregman, that clutch Bregman? And there he was right before your eyes when you needed it the most. Fromber, Charlie alluded to it, getting him back to doing what he's doing, that's just been huge. I mean, he's allowed 3 runs or fewer in 6 of his last 7 starts. So that's what you need from a top-of-the-rotation guy like Fromber. So just the eye test, Fromber looked amazing in that start. Everything was working great, the curveball, the sinker. So I'm encouraged by him. The other guy, I heard a lot of love for John Singleton after this series, and I know he had a couple really big hits, and he's starting to look better, look like he's starting to get his groove, getting more accustomed to being in the lineup more often. We're seeing the power again. And, you know, it makes you wonder if they're just going to be like, all right, we're just going to pretty much roll with Singleton here, and we're just going to focus otherwise on pitching, and we're going to roll with Singleton. And I like what I'm seeing from him, but it made me go back and look. Like, is it just recency bias why I'm liking what I'm seeing from Singleton, or is he starting to turn a corner? And unfortunately, I looked at his numbers. He has 2 multi-hit games since July 1st. So as good as he's looking, he kind of is what his batting average is. He gets about 1 hit per game, about 1 hit out of every 4 at bats, but a lot of times that hit's a big hit, an extra base hit, something with a lot of power on it. So on the one side, you're encouraged because you're seeing that power. You were hoping first base would give you some of that, and he is providing it in some big spots. But also, if we look at the sample size over the last month, just not as consistent as you would hope. So it's kind of all or nothing with Singleton right now. So if he could just find a way to just, you know, get a couple more hits every now and then, just get on base a little bit more, I think they could be pretty happy with first base considering the circumstances and what happened with Abreu.
Well, compared to Abreu and compared to Singleton's career before now, he's doing all right. But his OPS in July is .624. He has 2 home runs this month. He hit 1 home run in June. He has a little 4-game hitting streak starting the week, 1 hit in each game. The idea that, oh, they're set at first base would be silly. Now, it doesn't mean you can just snap your fingers and get the compliment. He makes $10 million next year. I don't know if that's a deal breaker for the Astros or perhaps the Rays, who are selling off everything that's not tied down, it appears. Yandy Diaz would make immense sense for the Astros. He destroys left-handed pitching, career .888 OPS against lefties. And it's not as if he's bad against righties. He'd immediately, to me, become the primary first baseman if the Rays are looking to move anyone who makes more than $1.98 next year. And by tomorrow, 5 o'clock, they may have done just that. It's still, of course, foremost for the Astros about adding a starting pitcher or multiple relievers. But if they are still poking at the coals on offense, Diaz is one name at first base since the other Rays corner guy went off the board for, frankly, what appeared to be a minimal return. Isak Paredes going to the Cubs, which to me in part speaks to what the Astros farm system both is and is regarded as by other teams. I don't know if Dana Brown was negligent if he didn't make an offer for Paredes, but I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he made an offer, but obviously not one that the Rays took.
Just real quick on the back to the Dodgers series, just outside of that Breggy hit, the story of the weekend was really about the bottom of the lineup streaming together hits, including Singleton. I mean, they really were part of that big comeback on Saturday. Charlie, you mentioned Arrigetti giving Houston a quality start. Any issues with Espada's handling of the bullpen on that getaway game? He brings in King to get out Otani, which works, but then brings him back in the next inning. He immediately gives up a home run and doesn't record another out before being pulled.
Yeah, I mean, there was a spot in the series where why do you have Ryan Pressly warming up in a 1-run game if you're not going to bring him in? I know any use of Montero under any circumstances now generally causes apoplexy among Astros fans. I think a little bit Espada has the robot thing going, right? They have a lead. He wants to use Abreu in the 7th, Pressly in the 8th, Hader in the 9th, which is fine, but I don't think that should be by rote when you have, say, a 4 or 5-run lead. because when you're playing games almost every day, other than these off Thursdays that they have still for the next 3 weeks, you can get into a spot where, oh, this guy pitched 2 days in a row, so he's down today, and you have to go a little deeper into the bullpen. He did use Abreu with the Astros behind in the game for the first time since May, but I think it comes back to no bullpen has 6-7 rock-solid arms. Hey, Taylor Scott's been magnificent this season, but he gave it up in an outing over the weekend. So sometimes guys are just going to fail. And to piggyback on the lineup, this all circles back to the absence of Kyle Tucker. They're just one big bat shy. From five down, the lineup's not good, right? Altuve, fine. Post-early season coma. Bregman, fine. Yordan, bad series, but he's Yordan Alvarez. And Yiner Diaz, from June 1st on, has been excellent. Jeremy Peña, as a five-hole hitter, is a minus. John Singleton, as a six-hole hitter, is a minus. And then you get to the others. Jake Myers has done very little now for about a month and a half. Chaz McCormick stinks this season. Joey Loperfido just cannot put the bat on the ball enough to be a competent major leaguer. 43 strikeouts in 106 at-bats. Dubon's playing time has withered in part because Dubon hasn't done anything for about 2 months now. Trey Cabbage, I mean, he's Trey Cabbage, and his OPS is about 640. So from the five spot down, they just do not have much quality. You can get it in a game here, a game there, but collectively, that's just not going to be a strong back half of the lineup compared to the elite offenses in the game. And something we've touched upon a little bit previously, you know, if you're not going to be slashing out a whole bunch of hits, drawing a few walks would help. The Astros still lead the American League in batting average. They're only fifth, which is good overall, but compared to batting average, they're only fifth in runs scored. Part of that is they are 13th among the 15 teams in the American League in walks drawn. Bad parlay for the Astros. They've drawn the third fewest walks. Their pitching staff has issued the third most walks in the American League.
Brandon, I didn't have a problem with Roland King back out there. He just struck out Shohei Ohtani. It's the guy that just struck out Ohtani or Montero. So I'm just, you take the best chance. Sometimes it's going to work, sometimes it's not. So I just, anytime I can avoid Montero in a game that's even somewhat close, I'm going to try and avoid him. I remember a couple months ago that they were up by, I mean, a lot of runs, like five runs or six or, you know, like more than five runs. And Montero came in and I think they had to bring in Abreu or Presley or something like that because the game got so close. It's escaping me which game that was, but Montero can't even be trusted in a game where you're up by five runs in the ninth inning. So, it's unfortunate. You wonder how much longer is he going to stay on the roster. If Dana Brown really wants to show me how great he is as a GM, find a way to trade that guy.
That's where you could have used Presley if you wanted to lift King, who struck out the lefty. But then you have Teoscar Hernandez, right-handed hitter, and then others following him. King has been okay here. But Presley's been unscored upon in like 15 outings. So second guesser's delight, but I think fair to at least question if you used Abreu when behind for the first time in a while the day before, why not Presley in a one-run game?
Getaway day. I feel like they're just not as aggressive on getaway days, Charlie. It seems like we already won the series. So sometimes I feel like a spot is a little conservative on those third days when trying to go for a sweep. I know the score didn't necessarily dictate they were going to win that game, but it seems like they are a little conservative when they've already wrapped up a series win.
And probably factoring in somewhere, oh yeah, it's Jake Bloss against Skeens Monday night, probably not getting 6-7 innings out of your starter.
Yep.
Yeah, probably not. And Josh, to your point, there were reports later in last week that Brown is trying to unload that Montero contract in some form or fashion. So,
hey, anybody want to buy some typhoid?
So this week is kind of interesting because Astros host Pirates and Rays, while Mariners face a couple of tough series against the Red Sox and Phillies. Texas faces the Cards and Sox. Lots of trades over the weekend, most relevant to Houston. Charlie, you mentioned Mariners acquire Astros nuisance Randy Arozarena and add former Houston reliever Yimi Garcia. Not to be outdone, I've got an inside source that says Dana Brown is the current high bidder on a couple of 1986 wax packs of Topps trading cards. So there might be a few starting pitchers in there, like a Jim Deshays rookie card. So let's cross our fingers and hope for the best. So that's exciting. But back to Rosenrain. He's had a tough start to this year, but he's come on as of late. He's hitting 286 with a 910 OPS for the month of July. His career numbers aren't as scary as that, but certainly it is a get for Seattle, especially since Julio, once he comes off the IL with that ankle sprain, this will look to be a much better offense. We said on this show last week, and I think the week before, that Seattle needs to add at least a couple at-bats to the lineup, but that's a good start. How does this, as it stands right now, if at all, change the current competitive landscape in the AL West race?
Oh, it changes it, but it doesn't totally flip the script. It doesn't make the Mariners the clear favorite or anything like that. But Rosarena is a good player. It's like he lost all his talent through mid-May, but June 1st forward, he's back over 800 OPS, power, speed, solid outfielder, .. If the Mariners get to the playoffs, he's been a superstar in the postseason. If I'm a Mariners fan, I'm asking, like, as an Astros fan, you're saying, hey, you couldn't top that Cubs offer for Isak Paredes, who'd have been a fab fit in the M's lineup also. I think Seattle will have missed out if it does not add another bat by the deadline. But Rosarena is a boost. They're banking on Julio getting back and, of course, performing. Jorge Polanco, who has been miserable most of the season, had a two-home run game over the weekend. Granted, it was against the White Sox. So, you know, the Mariners applied a little bit of a tourniquet. They don't get to play the White Sox every game for the rest of the season. And Brandon, you mentioned in the schedule this week, it cuts in the Astros' favor on paper, of course. We'll see who's left on that Rays roster when Tampa gets here. But they will bring credible pitching, because they always do. Houstonian Shane Baz probably going to start one of those games for the Rays. But after this week with the Astros, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's with house money, every game's so important, but it's a hopeless mismatch on paper, except that in one game, you never know, right? Bloss outpitches Skeens Monday night. It's a, wow, how about that? But it's not like it's a million to one shot. Somehow you win Monday, you think, you sweep the Pirates, take 2 out of 3 from the Rays, and then a challenging road trip, maybe a chance to put away the Rangers up in Arlington, or like happened here a couple of weeks ago, to keep the Rangers in the race. And the season series rides on that series in Arlington next week. Then the Astros, the first of two series with Boston. The first one up in Fenway Park, and then they go to St. Petersburg, which has been a house of struggle for the Astros over the years. So, yeah, the Mariners add another impact bat, and the Astros do not add some pitching or a bat that makes you go, hey, that moves the needle at least somewhat. The Astros are not the favorites in this division any longer. I'm not saying that they're way in the rearview mirror of the Mariners, but Seattle's gotten better. Even Ryan Stanek out, Yimi Garcia in a swap of ex-Astros relievers for the Mariners bullpen the way it nets out. That makes Seattle a little bit better. And when you're tied, like I said, 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago after this Astros homestand, you know, incremental improvement matters so much more when you're down to the final 50, 55 games of the season than if you were taking the broad view of, all right, we're in week one of 162 games, right? A game here, a game there. They all count the same out of 162, but you're basically now playing a 55, 57 game season.
Yeah, I hate this trade for the Mariners because I think it's a great move for them. They're kind of taking a page out of the Yankees book here, like, who's an Astros killer? Juan Soto, let's add him to our team. Who's an Astros killer? Randy Arozarena, let's get him on the team. And now you got him in the division now. I think it's a really solid move for the Mariners. So you hate to see it as an Astros fan because it brings up all those memories of when that guy killed you. And he's got the playoff experience. He's been an ALCS MVP. The bright lights are never too big for him. So really solid pickup there from the Mariners. So, you know, hopefully the Astros here, you got a little time left to add to the ball club before the deadline hits. Ball's in your court, Dana Brown.
With the division currently, you know, being split by just percentage points right now, you're right. Every incremental improvement on any team could be the difference. You know, we've waited. We thought Texas was on fire. We saw them, you know, come up the rankings, and then they had that big, they had the setback over the weekend, getting swept in Toronto. So we'll see how that plays out. I don't necessarily know that they need to add a player as desperately and importantly as the Astros do. You're right, Dana Brown's on the clock, but it's so hard looking at the landscape right now in the league when it seemed like the Cubs are buyers right now. That means that so many more teams are buyers, fewer sellers. Price, it's a seller's market. It's just going to be very interesting to see what Dana Brown can get done by the deadline, what kind of ads they can make, and how impactful that will be. Because if you're rolling with this team right now, it's going to be a shaky proposition as we roll to the end of it. And it's a good reminder right now is that we are going to be live again. We're going to be live tomorrow, Tuesday, 5 p.m. Central for our trade deadline reaction. So you can come back here on YouTube and watch that here. We're going to cut this show short a little bit because the rest of it's going to age like avocados, given the likelihood of more deals happening. So we'll cut it here. That's it for this episode of Stone Cold Stros. Make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel, join us tomorrow at 5. We'll talk to you soon. Go Stros!
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Life can be chaotic. If you're running a retail business, don't let disorganized order fulfillment add to the chaos. Use ShipStation instead. With ShipStation, you never have to worry about shipping and fulfillment again. Whether you're running a business out of your garage or you have multiple warehouses, ShipStation is ideal for every phase of your business's growth. Save time with one login for all your stores and by automating repetitive tasks. Plus, you'll save money with the best shipping rates from global carriers. ShipStation's industry-leading features help you deliver a better customer experience. They'll get accurate and faster shipments, along with automated tracking updates with your branding. And with up to 88% off UPS and USPS rates, and up to 90% off FedEx rates, ShipStation is the fastest and most affordable way to ship. Calm the chaos. Switch to ShipStation today. Start a free trial at ShipStation.com/audio. That's ShipStation.com/audio.